Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message. Favor. We were in the topic of favor, and is that something that people are interested in? Are you interested in favor and obtaining the favor of the Lord in your life? Yes. Okay, good. Then you're in the right place. We all should, that should be an interest to us. That should be something, I mean, nobody grows up in their household wanting the disfavor of their parents against them. They all want, you know, their parents to favor them, right? So it's the same thing with God. The only difference is that God has unlimited resources, has all the power that there is, and can make anything happen towards you, so, and for you. So the favor of God is very, very powerful. And so I'm going to talk tonight. I had started a little bit the last time about what favor was, but I want to talk about six keys tonight that will activate favor in your life. Six keys that will activate favor in your life. And I want to take a lot of this from, well, really the main part of it from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. So if you'll turn with me to the book of Ruth, it's right after Judges. And let me remind you, well, let's open in prayer and then we'll do a refresher about what favor is. Father, we thank you for this word tonight. I pray that you open up our hearts and our minds to understanding, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom, of revelation around this, that we would take this and apply it, that you would cause it to become applicable to our mind and to our understanding. And Lord, that we can carry this out, that we will see major shifts in our life because we come into a greater level of revelation of favor, the favor of God in our lives. So we thank you, Father, for that anointing, and we thank you for that grace to come upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was listening to a preacher preach this week, and he said this is that favor he has found is one of the, in some ways, the one of the most difficult graces to come upon someone, because there's a lot of keys that have to be activated. Because here's the thing, you can do one of them and not necessarily see favor and then wonder, why isn't this working? Well, because the other ones are not being activated. And so to understand that favor is activated by different keys, then that's what opens things up. Because, I mean, think about it for yourself. Like, if you are going to favor an employee, favor someone that's under you, favor a child, then it's because they're doing multiple things well or right. It's not because they're doing one thing and then everything else they're being disobedient, and you know they're hard to get along with, and they're, you know, they don't honor you, but you know they do one thing right, and then you know all this favor just gets poured out because of that one thing. That's not typically how it works. Someone is favored because you see multiple things functioning in their life. And this will make more sense to you as we go along. So in the book of Ruth, does everybody know who Ruth is? Let me give you a quick synopsis, quick background about Ruth. Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Naomi and her husband, they had went to Moab because there was famine in the land, so they're in search of food. So her and her husband, Elimelech, went to Moab in search of food. So they left Bethlehem, and they went in search of food. And while they're in a foreign land, her two sons marry two daughters that were Moabites, so foreign women, not women that were of Israel, not women that worshiped God. They worshiped other gods. While she's there, her husband dies, her two sons die, and she finally hears that the famine has left the land of Israel, and so she's now going to go back to her homeland of Israel. And so she's getting ready to go, and this is where we're picking up in the story of Ruth, chapter 1. Let's start at verse 8. It says, "Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband.' Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud, and said to her, 'We will go back with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to two sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go back with her, she stopped urging her. So the first key, and I was going to kind of refresh what favor was. Let me hit that first. Just so that you understand what favor is. Favor is when God raises men up to give you access or to bestow resources or something that they have the ability to give to you. Open doors, access, influence, anything they have possession of, anything they have access to, then they are making that available to you. So when God raises up men to invest their time in you, that is favor. When God raises up men to invest their resources into you, that is favor. When God raises up men to invest their credibility into you, that is favor. See, you got to understand that even someone else's credibility, if we go anywhere and someone says, "Who's your spiritual father? Who are you under?" Why do they say that? Because it matters. Because the one word alone that we are under Dr. Morocco shows that we are submitted to someone. We're not lone rangers out there doing our own thing, and that we are under a covering. His credibility becomes what? Our credibility. What he stands for becomes an understanding, a very quick understanding of what we stand for. Because if you understand what doctor stands for, then you understand what we stand for. That's how associations are. And so when you understand that who you're linked with matters, that their credibility becomes your credibility. If you work for an agency and they're well known, and you go out and you say, "I work for such and such place," then people will automatically have an impression about that place, whether it's good or bad, whatever the reputation may be. And so that becomes your credibility also. So when God raises someone up or causes them to extend their hand towards you in either wisdom, investing in their knowledge, investing their time, investing their resources, and their credibility to you, that is favor. And that can come in multiple ways. And I kind of discussed that the last time, through open doors, through access, through influence, through wisdom, through various ways. So many times you've got to understand that when we pray for things, most things that we pray for come through men. Most that you might not have realized it. Some of you might think that you're praying to God for God to do something. But how does he get it to you? Most of the time, it's through men. Lord, help me with my rent. Lord, help me with this payment. Father, help me get a car. Help me this, help me that. It's through men that oftentimes are the ones, it's their pocket that they're pulling something out of to give to you. He moves on their heart to help you. Many times, even the gift of healing flows how? Through men. Not every time. Sometimes a person knows how to stand on their word to receive their healing. But even that knowledge, where did it come from? Through men. Through men. That someone learned how to stand on the word of God through the teaching of the word through men. So everything that we receive, most things that we receive through men, because God causes their hearts to be turned in favor towards us. Does that make sense? So we can't walk away from the idea of thinking that we can just disregard man. That's why God said in the very beginning, he looks at Adam and says, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make him a helper. Immediately, relationship. Immediately, there's someone there that can cause a help to come alongside. That word helper is a counselor, a helper, an aid. He didn't solve the problem and just say, you know what, Adam, if you need anything, just come to me, I'll be here. He gave him a helper. God values relationships. God values relationships. And so as we get into this, I want you to understand that all of this is going to have something to do with people and our relationship with people. So in this first one that we see, first of all, we see Ruth do something. And Ruth does it, but her sister-in-law does not. And we see the difference in the return investment here. We see that Ruth honors Naomi. She honors Naomi, where Orpah does not. She's like, I'm going to go back to my own gods. I'm going to go back to my own family, to the way that I knew before, to my own foreign ways, which speaks of the world. But instead, Ruth does something. She discerns something in Naomi. And see, that's the thing. We have to be able to discern when there's something different in a man that is worth us desiring something from them. Whether it's their understanding, whether it's their wisdom, whether it's because their associations, whatever it may be, but we begin by honoring. We begin by honoring. And Ruth honored Naomi. She saw something different. You know what I think it was? I think it was her, because Naomi came from the Israelite understanding and the teaching. She came from the nation of Israel, so she's operating under a godly influence. She's operating under a godly instruction. So I believe that Ruth saw something in Naomi that was different, that was godly. And so she desired to link up with Naomi instead of going back to the world, instead of looking at the world and going, nah, I think I'll just settle back here. This is the easy way. You know, I don't have to travel all that way. I don't have to go to a foreign place that I'm not used to. I don't have to learn that, you know, the strange ways of life there. Instead, I'm just going to come back here where it's easy. I'm already familiar here. It's comfortable, right? It's comfortable here. But instead, she's like, where you go, I'm going to go. Even to the point that where you die, I'm going to die. And that's where I'll be buried. That's strong. This was life for her. There was like no turning back. She was like, I am going to cling to you and to your God all of my days. I'm not looking to go back. I'm not even in this until it gets difficult. I'm in this for the long haul. And so she honored Naomi. She honored Naomi. Now, there are three things, and you can write this down quickly. I'm not going to have time to go through all of these if we're going to get through the six things, but I will give you the three very quickly. You need to honor, actually, there's four. You need to honor wisdom. You have to honor the wisdom of God. That's the fear of the Lord. Everything that comes from the Word of God, you've got to honor, you've got to uphold. You have to honor gifts that come, that are in man. Yes, that's number two. Honor the gifts that men have and hold and possess in themselves. Those things that they are good at doing, those things that they have learned to do through life, those skill sets that they are good at, honor them. Why? Because there may come a time in a day when you may need those things. If you honor them and you appreciate that gift in them, then it becomes something of value to you and they can see that you appreciate it. Honor the gifts that men have. A man's gift will make room for him. Honor, I already said wisdom. Honor, let me see how to put this. Moments. And what I mean by that, this is number three, honor moments. What I mean by that is you have to discern certain moments. You have to discern that there are moments that are not the same. There are moments in even in a church service that are not the same. You can come in and in one moment, and then a half hour later, the presence of God can come through, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere shifts, and there's a different moment in place. And if we treat that moment when the presence of the manifest presence of God comes in, and we treat that flippantly like it's no big deal, then his presence won't stay. So we have to honor and discern moments. Esau did not discern, first of all, the gift that was given to him, which was his birthright. And second of all, he didn't discern the moment. I'm hungry, so just give me this soup right now to feed my flesh, and you can have my birthright. He didn't discern that this is just a passing moment, that if he would just hold on, let this pass, and you can feed your flesh in a little while and still keep your birthright. But instead, he fed into the flesh. He did not discern that he actually had something precious. And then he despised it after that. He despised it. So we have to discern and honor moments in our life. Moses is another example of that. Moses hit the rock. You remember when God told him to speak to the rock, but instead he hit the rock? He didn't discern that moment. Instead, he hit the rock, and what did it do? He lost favor and access into the promised land. We have to discern that there are moments that are different, that we have to tread the way God wants us to tread and make the decision God wants us to make, because we could lose access and we could lose favor in that moment if we don't. Not every moment is the same. And the fourth one is we must honor the chain of authority in our lives. The chain of authority. So whatever chain of authority that God has put us in, we need to honor that. Our chain of authority for us, Dr. Morocco is over us, but we also have other pastors that are over us. We have other people within the organization that would be considered over us. So we honor those positions. We honor those men of God. And we honor our co-workers, those that also are ministering and pastoring in other extensions. Why? Because they have a gift upon their life. They're doing the same thing that we're doing here. So we honor them for what they do. So honor is a big one. Ruth honored Naomi. And she said, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you die, I'll die. And I'll be buried there. I will serve your God. Your God will be my God. My whole life is changing. My whole perspective, my whole mindset, everything is shifting. I'm not trying to go into this land, but keep a hold of old mindsets, keep a hold of old ways, keep a hold of the way I want to do things, but I'm going to be in your house, Naomi, but I want to do it my way. No, she was saying, I lay all that aside, and Naomi, I'm coming into your care, and I'm coming into your direction, and I'm coming into your understanding, I'm coming into your ways of thinking, and I want you to teach me, and I'm coming into your covering. And she honored Naomi. As a result, Naomi favored her, and you'll see that she begins to teach her, and she teaches her in a way that brings favor in her life. Also understanding when we're in authority, there's protocol that has to be followed at times. Favor, and see, these are things that sometimes people don't connect. Like, favor also means that there's going to be protocol, that there's going to be structures that have to be followed. I mean, there are things in King's system that we follow. Why? Because I sure don't want doctor turning his back on me. That would be dumb. Well, I'm just going to do it my way. I think my ways are higher than doctor's ways. That's ignorant. That would be so ignorant of us. In order to gain favor, then it's obvious that you would do, if you're working in the secular world, find out what your boss wants done and do it. Don't make him keep asking you the same thing over and over. Don't make him keep repeating it over and over. Find out what he wants done. Guess what? Favor. Man, they're a quick listener. Man, they do what I ask them too quickly. Wow, that goes a long way. If you want favor in your workplace, favor in your family, favor in your job, favor of God, then those things there will go a long way. All right, let's go to chapter 2. So skip over a little bit to chapter 2 so we can get through the rest of these. Now Naomi, verse 1. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." So this is interesting to me because Ruth is like, this is such a profound sin. I'm going to go out, Naomi, and I'm going to go look for favor. Naomi, I'm leaving early in the morning, and I'm going to go look. I'm going in search of favor. So she's expecting it. Anyone's eyes in whom I find favor. Boy, that's something that we should take to heart. Do we get up in the morning and say, I'm going out and I'm going to find favor today. In anyone's eyes in whom I find favor. I'm going to act accordingly. I'm going to live accordingly. I'm going to walk accordingly to find favor. Now, what she did here is she said, I'm going to go work. I'm going to go to the fields. So write down work, because you cannot be lazy and have favor. You can't dishonor someone and have favor. So that's what I'm meaning. It's more than one aspect. You can't dishonor your boss and work hard and think that there's going to be favor. Like, he's a hard worker, but he mouths his boss off like crazy. Like, favor still isn't going to be extended. But if you honor and you work hard, so she goes out. No, Naomi didn't have to go, Ruth, get up. Ruth, it's 6. Come on. Get out to the fields, Ruth. Come on. Let's go. We need to get up. Ruth is like, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And I'm going to go work. and I'm going to go to the fields and I'm going to collect and see whose eyes I find favor in today. I'm going to pick up this leftover grain because that was part of Israel's structure. Is that any person that did not have property, if they had no husband to take care of them, no brother to take care of them, no father, then the widows and the orphans could glean from the fields of the leftovers that were left behind. And so they were destitute. That's what they had available to them, were the leftovers. It would be like us eating our dinners and then putting our plates outside, anything that's left over, and letting the homeless and letting people just come and get our plates afterwards because that's what we have left. So that's how they would live. So it's kind of that concept. So Ruth says, let me go out to the fields. I'm going to find favor. And Naomi says to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out and entered a field and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. And Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? Her hard work caught his attention. Who that woman? Who does she belong to? And the overseer replied, she is the Moabite. Now understand, Moabites were not supposed to enter into the land of Israel because they didn't allow Israel to pass through when Israel was out of the promised land passing through. So there was actually, Moabites were not looked well upon. So she has that going against her. A reputation of being a Moabite. She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. Work, 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 work. A short time she rested. But that's what they noticed. First of all, she's from Moab, but she's gained a new reputation. She's made a new name for herself because she's helped Naomi. And she's, instead of clinging to an old label, instead of saying, well, you know, this is the way it's always been in my family. Well, you know, this is just what they stuck me with. See, this, I'm dyslexic. I'm ADHD. I have issues in my family. I'm going to have these problems. I'm slow. And instead of going with all these labels, she instead creates a new reputation for her life. And they say, yeah, she's a Moabite, but boy, she's a hard worker, and boy, the good things she's done for Naomi. She's come back with Naomi and she's taken care of her. And she's out there working hard for the both of them. And then it says, so Boaz said to Ruth, so he calls her over, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. And don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. Protection, provision, those are also aspects of favor. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. Now, this doesn't sound like a huge deal to us, but when you're in the field working, I remember putting up hay when we were young. I mean, that was part of the farm work. We put up hay. We threw the hay bales on the, every time we went back to the barn. Man, that cooler of ice water in those old tin aluminum cups. I don't know if any of you guys remember those tin aluminum cups. Man, the water was always colder in those than in a plastic cup. And it was like every time you get back to the barn, it's just like you down a cup of water. And boy, did it... 20 cups of water, and it just felt good, and boy, it quenched your thirst. He's saying, you have access to my water. You have access to the provision. I've told the guys not to lay a hand on you, and they're to watch out for you and protect you. So now she has a security around her. Now she can glean without looking behind her constantly to see if somebody's going to attack her, to take advantage of her, to steal from her. So now she can glean in peace. And she has provision. And she says, at this she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice a foreigner? And I'm going to stop there because I want to hit another point before we move on to this part. What number am I on? Three? I am not on five. Work. I don't know. Whatever number you have, just write down the next number. You guys figure it out on your paper. Okay. So first of all, she after work or whatever you got, she decided to solve a problem. She got up and she solved a problem. She didn't say, you know what, Naomi? I don't know the ways here. It's going to just be easier for you to go out, figure this out. You know the people. You know, they were excited when they saw you come back in town. You know, they're all excited to see you. So why don't you go out? You go get a job. You take care of this situation. You understand the ways here. It can be intimidating when you go somewhere new and you don't know the ways and you don't know the people and you got to put yourself out there. You don't know the language. You don't know the systems and you got to go out there and try to find your way. But she did it. She solved a problem. She's like, we can't last here with no food. I've got to go solve this problem. You want to find a way to gain favor in your workplace or wherever you're at or with the favor of God? Solve problems. Solve problems. This is huge. Huge. If somebody comes back to me after I've given them something to do and then I can't figure it out, here, I'm bringing the problem back to you. You know what that does to me? I'm just like, okay, now I got to solve the problem for you. Now I got to figure out what to do with you too. Because the thing I gave you to do, you can't do. So now what do I do with you and the problem? But if a boss can say, hey, I'm going to entrust this to you. Can you get this done for me? And you say, got it. Don't even think anymore about it. Why did Joseph have such favor? What did it say? Potiphar didn't have to worry about a thing in Joseph's care. In fact, he didn't worry about anything other than what he wanted to eat. Solve problems. Because here's the thing. You're not just solving them for man. You're not just solving them for your boss. God is your boss, ultimately. Every problem you solve, he sees. He sees your innovation. He sees your go get him. He sees the tenacity. He sees your drivenness. He sees that you're not going to take excuses and just go, well, you know, I'm just going to offer this excuse and sit down. I've seen people that even they look for an excuse so they can sit down. Don't be one of those people. It's just like, oh yes, I found an excuse. Oh, I couldn't because, you know, the truck came in late, so I didn't have time. You know, like they look for reasons. Don't be that kind of person because that is not a person that favor follows. Be the person that gets the job done and goes back to their boss and says, it's done, it's complete. Everything, all the dots are all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, it's completed. So if you solve problems, you will be a great help. I mean, this comes in so many ways. I was going out to my grandma's the other day. I called my mom. She's like way out on the farm. So the last Dollar General is like 45 minutes away from her. So I stopped at the Dollar General and said, hey, Mom, do you guys need anything? I'm at the Dollar General in Weston. She's like, you know what? Because my grandma's been having problems with dementia and things, so it can get interesting at times. And so she's like, well, you know, she's really ruffled today because there's mulch in the flower bed, and she thinks that the mulch is killing her roses. And even though the mulch has been there for years, and she wants soil to put down, and I'm like, she's like, it's not going to do anything. And I said, that's okay, I'll pick it up. It'll relieve her mind, and it'll make her relax for the day. So, because you could spend all day long listening to that one thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. The mulch, the flowers are dying. So it's like, I pick up a bag of soil, take it out. And I was like, if that's what relieves her mind, then that's a problem solved for the day. You know what I'm saying? It's like the little things sometimes. Just to make things easier for someone. We would do everything we could to make life easier for Dr. Morocco, for Pastor Colleen. When we lived on the island, we would go up to their house before conferences when, you know, all the pastors and ministers would come in. There's 20 bedrooms that have to be made up. There's rooms that have to be swept, beds that have to be made. So we would go. The guys would go weed eat. The guys would go trim trees. They would do everything with the lawn. The girls would clean the house and get everything ready. And that was a huge help to her because for one person to do it takes forever. But 10 people to do it is a lighter load. Everything you can do to help solve a problem. So Ruth was helping solve a problem. The next one. I had gotten ahead of myself in reading. But you notice in verse 8, Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. He said, stay here. And you notice Naomi says, if you jump over to verse 22 and 23, Naomi tells her the same thing. She says, it'll be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him because in someone else's field, you might be harmed. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvesters were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Stay in your field of favor. Stay in your field of favor. If she would have jumped in from field to field to field to field, it says she could have had harm come to her. She would not have been protected. She would have been starting the whole thing over time and time and time again. When you jump around from place to place to place to place to place, employer, 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 employer. Person to person, 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 person. Then it's like starting all over. Starting all over. See, favor increases. It doesn't just come like all of a sudden. It increases over time. It increases as someone sees your character. It increases as someone sees your work ethic. It increases as someone sees your ability to solve problems. Favor grows. It increases. So if you jump around from field to field to field to field, then it's just like you're hitting start all over again. But if you can find a place where there is favor and you stay in that place, because here's the thing, it doesn't cost anything to come into that field. But it sure can cost a lot to stay in the field. Because the grass always looks greener, right? On the other side, even if it's really not. Pastor Shannon says, the grass is greener where you water it. But you can stand in a place and go, oh, but there's a bigger field. Oh, but look at how they treat their servants. Oh, look over there. Those ones, they get shade trees. Oh, this one over here. And so then you run over here, and then you find that things aren't as glamorous as what you thought they were. And then you run over, oh, man, they chopped the trees down right when I got here. You know, they changed the policy, and now it's not that anymore. I mean, if you're just constantly looking for another reason, then it doesn't provide opportunity for favor to increase. Does this make sense? We could have very easily jumped from place to place. But when we established ourselves in Kings, we established ourselves. And we established ourselves for life. It wasn't like we're going to jump in, see how it goes, jump back out, jump back in. You lose credibility. But if you will stay, you build relationships with those people that you're with. And over time, the favor increases. Because here's the thing. When people quit, or even if people quit and stay, like they stay but they quit in their mentally, it can cause favor to decrease as well. Because if the attitude is there, or if I quit and stay, I'm here but I'm not doing the workload that I should be, then that can also cause favor to decrease in your life. You can lose in one day 10 years of what favor has been built up just by decisions that are made. So stay in the field of favor and work hard to keep favor being increased. Work hard. Fight to stay in that field. Don't fight to get out. All right, the next one. Let's move to the next one. She said, "Why have I found such favor that you would notice me?" In verse 11, Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and your mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people that you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." He says, I've heard what you've done. So this next one is value and contribution. Value and contribution. See, value, the value of a man is the measure of usefulness. His measure of usefulness. What do you contribute to others? What do you have to give to others? What causes a demand on your life? Have you skilled yourself in something? It's all about the talents the doctor preached about at the beginning of the year. Those things that have been given to you, are you stewarding them? Are you honing them in to become more skillful at the giftings that God has given you? Are you making them work for you? Are you applying them to your life? Are you getting better at them? Are you taking those gifts and honoring the Lord with them? Your value, your contribution to other people. See, people trade value. That's really what happens. Remember how I talked about how finances was not the main financial or the main system of currency? See, honor is one of those systems of currency. You can gain favor by honoring someone. And favor is higher than silver and gold. Because favor can do more for you in one day. Somebody can give you $300 today. It'll be gone probably within 2 days. But favor can continue to increase. Favor can open a door that is reciprocal and continues to give blessing. Has anybody ever tithed and then seen a promotion or seen a continuous open door for them? Yes. Okay. So it's like, instead of it just being a one-time blessing, then it's like you see, oh, I got a raise that was continuous and it affected or impacted me on a regular basis, not just a one-time blessing. Favor can do that. What is your value? What is your measure of usefulness? Our value is measured by how much somebody or a people want to demand something from us. We need you. When you have value, when you work at something and hone it in and develop it and you're diligent with it, it becomes more and more wanted by other people because you become what? Excellent. Because you become excellent. You become top. That's why the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. That your gift brings you before great men or kings. Because the more excellent you become, the more in demand you become because you're at the top of the game. You begin to surpass other people. Your value, your contribution. I mean, what happens when companies downsize? Who do they get rid of? Yeah, the ones that aren't as useful, right? The ones that they can do without. Who do they keep? The ones that are competent. So saying stuff like, well, that's not in my job description should not be part of your vocabulary. Because now you just took your competence and went, oh, he only works here in this realm. But if you're useful to your boss, then you become, and you become more competent, whether it's in excellence, or whether it's problem solving, or whether it's getting things done in a speedy, efficient, effective manner. It's interesting because people are either remembered by the problems they create or the problems that they solve. So, for instance, who knows Benjamin Franklin? Who knows what he did? What did he do, Krista? She's like, I'm not raising my hand anymore. What did he do, Amanda?
He was a president, right? Oh, Benjamin Franklin? Isn't he on money? Isn't he a president? Wasn't he on money? What? He created a stove. Okay.
Yeah, he created the potbelly stove. He was the one with the kite. Not Benjamin Franklin. Mm-mm. No. Hitler. What did Hitler do?
He killed people.
Yeah, killed people. So people are either remembered by the good things they created or did, or by the bad things or problems that they created. And so it's our problem-solving skills, what we bring to the table, our value, our contribution is what is remembered. That is what that's why God places something on the inside of every person that has to be developed, that has to be nurtured, that has to be discovered. See, we run around going, oh, I'm going to try to grab at money and things, but that's actually not true riches. True riches are not things. True riches are not the finances. True riches are actually the things that, like what we're talking about tonight, because these things can be traded for currency. You develop a skill and you develop it well, that can be traded for currency throughout your whole life. So value and contribution. All right. Ruth, let's jump down to verse 19. Ruth, her mother-in-law, asked, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed is the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers," or kinsmen redeemers. Kinsmen redeemers. The next one to write down is the power of relationships. The power of relationships. If you go to read the rest of the story, you understand that Boaz ends up being the redeemer and marrying Ruth and saving their family, bringing her in and becoming the husband to her. She is in the has the lineage of Jesus. So it's through what? Relationship. Through relationships. We see time and time again in Scripture that it's by relationships of people. People rise and fall. Vashti, the wife of a king, when she dishonored her husband, even though he was drunk and she dishonored him, and then you see that he got rid of her in one moment, in one day. In another day, Esther rises to the top. Based on what? Relationship with the king. Abraham, Lot. God has a promise for Abraham and says, "I'm going to make you a blessed nation. Come out of your home, come out of your family, out of your kin. I'm going to show you a home. I'm going to show you a land, and you're going to live in that land, and you're going to be a blessed nation." Who does he bring with him? Lot. Was Lot called? No. But Lot went. Was Lot blessed? Yes. Lot, who had nothing with him when he came, was traveling with Abraham, becomes as rich with Abraham, so much to the point that their livestock and their servants are crowded. They're not getting along. So finally, Lot says, "I'm going to pitch my tent towards Sodom." And then as he begins to associate himself with Sodom instead of Abraham, everything depletes and he ends up leaving Sodom with nothing. Not even his wife. His wife turns to a pillar of salt. He loses everything. Based on what? Relationship and association. Cutting off. He didn't stay in the same field. He didn't stay in the same field. He cut off his relationship with Abraham and said, "I'm going to go towards the world. I'm going to go towards Sodom." And as a result, he lost everything. The power of relationships. Joseph, again, through relationships, people. Time and time again, you see this theme of people. All of these things are through and with people. So we can't disregard valuable people and people that can invest in us. Does that mean we always agree with everything that somebody is and does? No. But honor the gift that's in them. Honor who they are. Honor the anointing or whatever it is upon their life so that you can receive from them. Joseph, he did everything he could. He gets thrown into prison, and then there's two guys, a butler and a baker. But you know what he did? He built a relationship with them. He interprets their dreams. And then how does he get out of prison? Because of the butler and the baker interpreting their dreams. He did what? He used his gift, his gifting, his value, his contribution. He used it to some guys in prison. And those same guys bring him out. Well, one of them, you know, the other one died. But you understand what I'm saying. It was through relationship. He didn't say, you know what? You guys are in prison. I'm going to look down on you. You guys are, I'm not even going to invest in you. I'm not going to pay any attention to you. I'm only going to pay attention to the prison warden because that's who's over me. Like, value the people that are around you too. We honor in kings. It's part of what we do in kings. We honor up, we honor down, and we honor all around. honor relationships. And sometimes those relationships might require some tolerance and endurance. Not intolerance. Write that down. It might require some tolerance. It might require endurance. It might require some patience. Because they may have some frustrating things. But are you willing to look past that? To be able to draw from the relationship? Because the relationship can add value to your life. And the last one, chapter 3, verse 1. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where we will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes, and then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know that you're there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, and then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Ruth says, "I will do whatever you say." For the sake of time, I'm not going to finish that, but she listens to everything that Naomi has to say, everything that Naomi obviously knows the culture, knows how things work, and she's telling her, do this, do this, do this. Wash, go put on some perfume, go, you know, lay down at his feet, and do all of these things. And she might be like, well, why do I got to do it like that? Why can't I just wait till Monday morning and I'll go talk to him in the field? Well, why can't I do it, you know, the way we do it in Moab? Why do I got to do it your way, Naomi? But you know what was going on here? Was impartation of wisdom. Yeah. Yeah. Experience. She knew, Naomi knew the culture. She knew how to go about things. She knew the wisdom of what Boaz would expect from an honorable woman and know what to expect in this position of a kinsman redeemer. And he would know what she was asking through this process. We may not understand it all, but they understood what was going on in their time period and their culture. So Naomi's giving her a piece of wisdom and impartation. Now, she could have been like, well, I don't think that's going to work. Well, I'm too scared to do that. Well, he's going to think I'm crazy. She could have come up with all kinds of things. But she listened to what he said. Impartation. She could have said, Naomi, you're getting a little bit old. And I think that's old fashioned. Like, I just think those are the old ways. And, you know, I'm in the new ways. And that's not how we do it now, Grandma. She could have been like that. But the thing is, what we honor in a person, like how we relate, whatever dimension that we honor in a person, that's what we'll receive. If we just look at that as Grandma, if we just look at that person as that's human, that's my brother, that's my father, that's so-and-so, that's friend, instead of understanding the spirit of somebody that has something of value in them. Now, that's where you have to discern, obviously, because you don't receive everything from everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is if you're discerning, there's something different here, I need to treat this differently, then you honor that and you move with that. But if you just treat it, there's a lot of people that are suffering, and some of you might have people in your family that are suffering because they want you, you know what they need to do, and you've told them and you're willing to pray with them, but you're just brother, you're just sister, you're just so-and-so. And so to them, they're looking at you as family. They don't understand that what you're trying to offer is the power of God that's living on the inside of you. And you know that there's an anointing there that can be tapped into. That if they would just listen and allow the things from the Word of God and the power of God to flow through you and touch them, then their life could be changed. So impartation, what we recognize and discern and honor, whatever dimension in a man that we honor, that is what we receive. If we only honor the fact that they're a human, that they're brother, that they're a relative or a friend, that's all we'll ever get out of it. But if we honor the fact that they have something spiritually to give us, some gifting to give us, something that's honorable to give us, then we can receive from that dimension. Does that make sense? Okay. Minister, if you can go ahead and come to the keyboard, please. When the enemy wants to destroy you, he will find a way to separate and divide you from those whose relationships are there to link with your future. He tries to abort people's destiny by getting you to dishonor, by getting you to disregard, to not read the moment, to have pride, jealousy, those types of things, fear, and to not look at these aspects that I went through tonight. But if you'll really look at these and study them and begin to put value on these things, then you'll begin to understand that these are actually keys to favor, keys that activate favor in your life. You know, Stephen was teaching Discover class this morning, and he was talking about the things that hold us back from serving sometimes or stepping out in what God wants us to do. And he, you know, made the comment that it doesn't mean that we always agree with everything, but we do understand that when we submit, it's not like we're not following God, but what we're doing is we're submitting to a bigger vision. We're submitting to a bigger plan. And yeah, there may be times when men may not agree on how or why. But the thing is, if we come into unity, see, unity, God favors unity way more than somebody's great idea. You're not going to find one story in here where God ever elevated a man and said, you know what, you're right. Your rebellion to this over here, because your idea is actually better than his. I totally agree with you. We're going to lift you up and put you over him. He never honors that. He never honors rebellion. In fact, he snuffs it out. So unity is something that we should honor. It's something that we should embrace. It's actually there to protect us. And what Ruth was doing is she's saying, Naomi, I'm moving in. I'm moving into your home. I'm not leaving this field. And I'm not leaving the field of Boaz because I want the favor of my life. And she's asking, why is this favor on me? And he's telling her, I've heard what you've done. I've heard the things that you've done, your value, your contribution, your honor, all of these things, the hard work, how you've received impartation. All of these things add up. And when we get these things working in our lives, then you can see the favor of God operating in your life. Go ahead and stand to your feet.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life, make me brand new, wash me, Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.